All right, so today we want to talk to you about some of the innovations Microsoft's working on in the area of robotics. And I'm joined today with Travis and Stathis. Tell me about what you do in the robotics group.
I'm a program manager in the robotics group, and my responsibility is basically to make the product ship.
Yeah.
I am the general manager, and my main job is to be overhead to Trevor.
Yes, yeah, so you're making sure that he's making sure everything ships.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. So there's been, you know, a lot of innovations lately, and I think one of the most interesting is the way that we're using Kinect with robotics. Tell us how Kinect is used in robotics and what it means to the future of robotics.
It's very interesting. Actually, the capability that Kinect brings to robotics existed before with other sensors. We had sensors like laser ranger finders that had similar capabilities to Kinect. The problem was the price point. Mm-hmm. And what Kinect did is really took this technology and democratized it, brought the price point much, much lower, even 10 times lower than the other sensors. And also, it's also the form factor and the power consumption that enables Kinect to be used in a consumer robot, a mobile robot.
Yeah. So all the stuff that was used in Kinect before, I mean, before Kinect was available, it was prohibitively expensive for the average person to buy all that, let alone it wasn't in one package.
Yeah, that's correct. Kinect can be used in two ways in the robotics space. One is for human-robot interaction. This is a mobile device, traditionally, the robot. So you have to use other forms of interaction, a traditional keyboard and mouse. So, of course, Kinect has a lot of solutions around speech with the microphone array and gestures. And the second way that can be used is to do autonomous navigation.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, a very exciting area that now it's enabled with Kinect.
So we've had a vision from the beginning of our robotics push to have a robot in every home. How are we going on that initiative?
It's very interesting. There is huge activity in the industry today around consumer robotics. We can see a lot of VC funding. We see a lot of new companies, startups. We see a lot of research being done in the space. So I think we're very close. We're getting very close where this is going to start becoming a reality, this vision that we described. The first type of robots that we see are the telepresence robots, which effectively is a teleconferencing platform on a mobile robot that is teleoperated by an operator.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of applications that we see with telepresence. But this is one of the first applications that they use the mobility of the robot. And we're just scratching the surface. The fact that we have an autonomous device enables a lot of new scenarios that the community has started now dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Kinect makes this much more sort of feasible. But one of the interesting things also in the industry is that there is a lot of work being done in form factor of robotics that is not applicable to consumer robotics. Consumer robotics, because of the price point, the resources are available, the sensors, the computational capability, the battery, not necessarily will be able to run some of the more sophisticated algorithms that we see in the advanced research robots.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we feel passionate and we're trying to enable with RDS is to have people start thinking about how to solve these problems, navigation, human-robot interaction, within the constraints of the consumer robot platform.
And so tell us, we've got RDS4 now. Tell us what's new and what's changed in that.
So there are a lot of new things that are coming with RDS4. I will focus on two new capabilities that we bring with this release. One is around the actual hardware platform. What is different between robotics and computers is that computers tend to have one computational model. If you write an algorithm to do sorting, it works in different computers. This is not the case with robots. Robots have different sensor configurations, have different capabilities. So a solution that might work on one robot might not work on the other robot. So with RDS4, we are publishing a hardware spec, a reference hardware platform of a mobile robot that includes a Kinect camera. And we are also provide the RDS services, so for anybody that will build a robot using this hardware spec, they very easily can use the RDS services and the development tools that we provide. We are also encouraging third-party vendors to build hardware that is based on this reference platform. And the first one is a company called Parallax, which is very well known in the hobbyist and the academic community. And at the end of September, we'll make available a robot that is based on this hardware platform. The second key new feature that we're bringing into RDS is supporting the capabilities of Kinect. And the first thing we do is we are seamlessly integrating with the capabilities that the KDK for Kinect brings, skeletal tracking and all the other features that they bring to the community. But in addition to that, we're building services that leverage Kinect and the other sensors to add capabilities to this mobile platform. For example, we have an obstacle avoidance service where you can point a robot towards one direction and the robot will be avoiding obstacles and change the direction, but we always move towards the direction that you have specified. I mean, these are capabilities specific to robotics that are coming with RDS.
And so tell us a little bit about this reference platform. What can we expect to see there? And we have a device in the studio here today.
Yeah, funny you'd ask about that because we've actually got one here. It is an early release, so it's not exact final hardware, but you get the idea looking at it of exactly what's included. And so I'll also show a simulated version of that a little bit later on, but if we have a look at the actual hardware, the basic concept is that you put a laptop on here. Mm-hmm. Now, RDS, of course, runs on Windows, uses .NET, etc. But we've designed this in such a way that it's very, very easy. You just put your laptop on there, you plug in a couple of USB cables, and you're good to go. So there's not a lot of messing around. The platform itself is, in fact, targeted primarily at education, research-type market. And for that, we've deliberately put in a couple of heavy-duty batteries underneath. They're down low, keeps the center of gravity low, so it's hard to tip it over. And we expect that those batteries are going to allow the robot to run 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
So if you consider a situation where you've got a bunch of students sharing a robot, which is quite common, I mean, you're not going to go out and buy one per student, then the long battery life of the robot is good. It'll probably last longer than the battery life on your laptop. So the students bring in their own individual laptops, plug them in, switch them over, and you could put half a dozen students through there in a space of a day and then recharge the robot overnight. So that was one of the design criteria that we had when we put this together.
And I can see here that we have a Kinect on the top of this. Is this the device from Parallax?
Yes, it is. This is our simulated version, and it looks very similar because, of course, it's taken off the CAD drawings.
Yeah.
So it should be pretty similar. We've got most of the features of it implemented in simulation as well. So across the front of it, we have a bunch of sensors for what are called proximity sensors, obstacle detection sensors. Those are necessary because the Kinect actually has a minimum range that it can see and a maximum range that it can see.
Yeah.
And it turns out that even placing the Kinect at the back of the robot, as we've done, to try to use up some of that blind space, there's still a bit in front of the robot where it can't see. So we need those obstacle sensors for that close-up interaction,
yeah,
where the Kinect just has no way of knowing. The other thing is that, again, from an educational perspective, there's this thing called sensor fusion, which is taking a bunch of data that's arriving asynchronously, merging it all together and making some sense out of it and doing useful things with it. Okay, so we have sonar sensors, we have infrared sensors, we have the depth data coming off the Kinect camera. You have to put all of that together if you're going to do obstacle avoidance.
Yeah.
So from an educational point of view, that's something else that students need to learn about. So again, we've put those on the front. In the middle deck, we've got the controller, the robot I.O. controller, which Parallax is making. That's a custom board that they're designing specifically for this to cater for the number of sensors and so forth that we've specified. And in there, of course, are the motor controllers and all the high-powered electronics that you need, because motors draw a fair amount of power.
Yeah.
You don't just normally plug them into a computer. So the controllers for that are in there as well. So all the electronics is there. Now, you'll notice it's a two-deck design,
mm-hmm.
So all the electronics are underneath where they're basically out of the way. The top deck, of course, is intended for the laptop, so it's nice and clear. But if you need to work on the electronics, four screws, whole top comes off, and you've got direct access into the bottom.
Yeah.
And, of course, it sort of looks cool open like that because you can see the electronics and you can be geeky and point at things and so forth. On the back of it, we've got a stand with a Kinect sitting on top of it. That's a standard retail Kinect. One of our requirements is no modifications. You just attach it. Mm-hmm. So there's a plug there, plug in, you connect. There's a couple of screws that go up into the bottom of the connect into existing holes that are there for that purpose,
yeah,
that mount it on the top of the robot, and then you're good to go.
So if I tumble with my robot, I can just replace the connect off the top of it,
sure,
with one from the store. Awesome.
Sure, exactly.
So tell us about the simulation environment that you're, mm-hmm, using here. What are the types of things that we'd use this for?
Well, basically, if you wanted to do something like design your own obstacle avoidance algorithm, or if you wanted to do some simultaneous localization and mapping, which is a very common theme in the research field, you can do that in this environment. So what we've got here, as I said, is the simulated robot itself, with a simulated laptop on the top, which does nothing. It's cosmetic.
Yeah.
And then there's a Kinect on the top. Now, the Kinect itself, I can actually tilt the Kinect up and down. Okay, you can maybe see that moving there. We have the depth data and the RGB data from the Kinect that are visible. I can use my trusty Xbox controller here, of course, mm-hmm, and I can drive the robot, and the data updates. So the depth data is in grayscale. That's the window on the top there. And you'll notice it fades out to white.
Yeah.
Now, that's basically, there's a limitation on the range
of the camera. That's as far as I can see.
That's as far as I can see. Exactly, yes. And you can drive it around, play games with it, but basically the key point is to program it.
Yeah.
To do that on its own. So, you know, we put the Xbox controller aside, we fire up an obstacle avoidance algorithm or some sort of mapping algorithm, and it drives the robot around. Now, the nice thing about this is twofold. One, this software is free. You pay nothing to get to this point to program the robot. You, mm-hmm, don't have to go and buy a reference platform on day one. So you can try it out, get a feel for it, and
so
then when you're
happy...
So getting
started with robotics, it's a zero-cost game,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
start out with.
Exactly. And that's important for education, of,
yeah,
course. So you can do that. The second thing is, if you do crash into something, you don't break your Kinect,
yeah,
right? So basically, you can drive around, you can crash into stuff as much as you like. You'll find, in fact, the way we've weighted it in the sim is fairly similar to the real robot. It's hard to tip over,
yeah,
because it's a four-wheel design. There's two driven wheels, which we, mm-hmm, call a differential drive, so you can spin on the spot and drive forwards and backwards. But there's also two caster wheels, and that was deliberate because that gives it a lot of stability. With the battery slung low underneath it, this thing is hard to tip over.
Yeah.
You still crash into things, but yes.
So you're going to be at Maker Faire in New York City.
Yes.
Tell us about that. What are you going to show there? What can people get their hands on?
I think what is interesting and something that we've been thinking about is how do we move beyond the hardcore robotics community to a broader community? Like, give you an example. It's in our aspiration to build this consumer robotics industry. One of the key things is not only building the technology that enables scenarios, but identifying all of these cool scenarios which are very unique for the robot compared to other mobile devices that you might have at home. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we have started thinking about is how do we bring other non-traditional robotic communities to start using this technology and maybe applying also some of the expertise. For example, the case of the phone developers of building mobile applications, but now with the new unique capabilities that the robot builds. So at Maker Faire, which is the 17th and the 18th, mm-hmm, of September, we're going to be there. We're going to have a booth. We're going to announce the RDS beta, and we're also going to announce a competition at the same time. Do you want to talk about the competition?
Yeah, basically the concept of the competition is to try to get people involved with this new reference platform and show us what they can do. So in one sense, it's a sort of open innovation style competition. We'll have some other divisions maybe that are a bit more refined than that, the target specific things like navigation, like human-robot interaction, or HRI as it's known, or you hear a lot about NUI, N-U-I.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. I mean, there's different terms, but basically it's all the same. So that's important as well, particularly with the Kinect, and I know Microsoft's been pushing that a lot through Microsoft Research of NUI, 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 and that's what it's about. And that's very important in a consumer robot as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to realize that this is a mobile device, so the big thing here is it's a mobile Kinect. This is not the Kinect sitting in your living room that just sits in front of the television set and that's where it is all day long.
Yeah.
This thing can follow you around the house.
Very nice. I like it. And where can people go to find out more about this?
Just go to Microsoft.com/robotics. That's our website. You'll get more information from there. There'll be links there to the download and additional information.
Thank you very much for showing us this today.
No problem. Thanks.